featuring James Baldwin and Rob James.
G'day, I'm James. Welcome to another episode of your new favourite rally podcast, Listen to My Calls. And broadcasting live from the Col de Torini, it's my friend and yours, our co-host, Rob James.
I have a basket full of croissants, fireworks, pornography. It's just like being in Canberra. So it's like they're sister cities, the Col de Torini and Canberra. I'm not sure Col de Torini is even a city. I think it's just a suburb, really. I don't know if you could be, but wowee. The fireworks were on from the very first stage.
It was, to be honest, probably the best showing this new point system could have. Yes, the new point system worked. Yes, the anoraks hated saying that it worked. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And there were crowds, there were fireworks, there was action, and there was Seb Loeb standing on the sidelines. Well, this is all to come in this episode of Listen to My Calls.
Listen to My Calls.
Well, Rob, it is the first round. It's done and dusted. As you just said, it worked incredibly well. The entire race weekend was incredibly interesting to watch, even though right at the very end, there was a very clear gap between Thierry and Seb. But that super stage really worked very well for me watching it.
When the point system was announced, everyone in rally thought the world was going to cave in and they were just going to sink to the bottom and the core of the earth. Unfortunately, a sinkhole has developed outside my house, so I'm going to ignore that sinkhole because it doesn't apply to me. It was unrelated. It was actually related to the sinkhole of Andretti not getting accepted into Formula One. But regardless, that's for our other
for
podcast.
For dubious reasons.
Listen to my business case. the point system, well, everything was on its best behavior. The Monte Carlo rally was relatively uneventful, not boring. It was actually quite interesting in a lot of parts. I was glued to my rally.tv wherever I could across the weekend, in between watching Sabalenka and Djokovic losing. So that's one prediction I got wrong. So there we go. I got 50-50 out of that. It wasn't the worst outcome. So that is a big tick so far. So that's worked well. But that said, probably give it a few more rounds, and when we get a really hairy result, the discussion may yet escalate. But I thought it was an okay start on that one. Oit Tanak with his start at Hyundai, again, uneventful.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
Andreas Mikkelsen's return to Hyundai, equally uneventful. I think we'll go through the rankings of the good and the bad and the ugly a little bit later on.
Yeah, well, in terms of the weekend as a whole and WRC 2024 as a whole, I think we can say that it is off to a good start. It's off to a very typical start for poor old Elfyn Evans. We'll talk about
sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
But it's his wheel of not again. Maybe he should have thought about changing his number from 33. Clearly only one Red Bull athlete at a time with a number 33 racing-wise can have versions of success. It's probably not him.
Well, he can't have Cali Rotman-Perez's number.
No.
He can't have 420 either. That's just ludicrous.
420.
It was always, when you could have your own race number, that was always, I don't know why they don't think that. There's at least two numbers that can be abused, but nevertheless, in terms of the let's actually go through those championship standings because let's hear if this sounds really ridiculous. So leading the championship, of course, the Rally Monte Carlo winner, Thierry Neuville, 30 points, fair enough. Sebastian Ogier, 24, but of course it's like a tennis match. It's really a seeding. So really, Elfyn Evans is second in the championship because Sebastian Ogier is not doing the whole stint. But Elfyn Evans third, Oit Tanak fourth, Adrian Formo fifth, Taka Katsuda ninth, and Andreas Mikkelsen seventh. And then when we go through the WRC2 field, Gregoire Munster, the next best Rally 1 car in 11th. If you look at that, those numbers and the standings, it seems pretty logical. It seems about right. We talked about the moral champions in the sport, and I think we got the moral points allocation as far as I'm concerned. So I'm pretty happy with that.
We said this last week. It was Seb's really rally to lose, and
yes,
he just couldn't quite get it together or didn't maybe have the confidence to push as much as Thierry did. And towards sort of the end of Saturday and beginning of Sunday, there were a number of times where, you know, Thierry was absolutely on it. He would finish the stage. Mm. Molly would shove a microphone in Seb's face and say, this is what the split time is at the moment for Thierry behind you, or wherever he was on the track. And he just started to really concede towards the end of the weekend. And, I mean, WRC did its job in terms of trying to hype up the, oh, maybe Seb will make this really big return come Sunday afternoon. And, of course, that didn't happen whatsoever. But for Thierry Neuville, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start. Constructors-wise, though, Toyota still having a better time out than Hyundai. You did say Oit didn't have too many problems. Well, his throttle pedal didn't work and his car kept going in and out of the service park with engine issues. So it's a terrible...
Not his fault,
but still a terrible start to the season confidence-wise for his return to the i20N. Yeah. But overall, I'm not sure you or I would have really pecked Thierry to have won Monte Carlo.
Yeah, well, we put him in that league of drivers that could potentially win the WRC alongside Elfyn Evans. Well, actually, no, we didn't. I said Oit and Elfyn.
Yeah.
And Thierry didn't stand a chance. But here we go. An apology. The first one of many to come, I'm sure, on Listen to My Calls.
I'm very sorry.
But I think for Thierry, it was very important that he backed up his... Because he last won in Monte Carlo in 2020. And for whatever reason, people thought that was a bit of a fluke for him. But he's backed it up some years later, a couple of COVID variants later. He's backed up for his second Monte Carlo rally win. A very important start for Hyundai, I feel, because given the last couple of years they've had, they had a cursed start with the Rally 1 launch. The car was woefully undercooked. And obviously Sebastian Loeb, an elderly man in a Ford Puma, which, you know, 2 years later is, you know, nowhere near contention for outright victory. But it goes to show how far that Hyundai has indeed come. And indeed for Thierry, he's one of those kind of, drivers who's a bit of a pest. And he may yet prove to be a bit of a pest to Oit Tanak.
It's interesting to me. Let's rewind a little bit, if we could, Rob. Let's just take a couple of steps back at sort of WRC as a whole, because we spoke a little bit about, you know, this is the year, the make and break for WRC and all the rest of it. But for me, watching properly for the first time in a couple of years, it has to be said, the entire race weekend, because now I have a vested interest in doing this, I was shocked at the amount of fans that I could see. Now, whether or not that is tactical placement of fans to camera ratio, you would know full well about how to do that. I'm not sure, but it seemed to me that the locals were getting out in force in the all the right places that they should be, even including places that they shouldn't be, which is half the deal with rally, and especially if you know, the Peugeot 306 Maxi is your favourite rally car, and Andrew Colley, who's a friend of the show and commentator of Nitro Rallycross and World Rallycross and everything else, I will get him on to talk about why the 306 Maxi is his favourite rally car of all time. That'll be a 4.5-hour episode of just him talking.
The anorak special.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in fact, he will only wear an anorak.
It'll be two-part. It'll be about the 306 Maxi, how good Richard Burns' rally is.
So that's the first thing, that obviously the fireworks and everything else going up the mountain roads were phenomenal to see. But I really enjoyed watching how into it the spectators were, including one old man in Seb Loeb. The next was just how good the WRC2 GR Yaris sounded. I messaged this to you on Friday, I think. Like, it sounds like the Honda and Formula One power unit. It just sounds demonic in terms of...
Yeah.
There is something about that is hyper-attractive to me. It's like, if I was going to buy a WRC2 car, I wouldn't even consider anything else. And then, of course, you look at the standings in the weekend, and then a Citroën and... Ford and Skoda again.
I think you and I have very differing views about the Rally 2 Yaris's debut, but I think that warrants another talking point. But I'll touch on the crowds because, wow, I mean, it is the perfect start. Any sport, let alone motorsport event, would absolutely sell its soul and not let Andretti into setting up an 11th team to have a start like that. Because a backdrop, you had fireworks, you had just people going bonkers. There were stories of people camping out the night before. That's kind of shit you hear about people trying to get tickets to Taylor Swift.
Hell yeah.
Not to see Stefan Lefebvre struggling along in a rally to Yaris. So it was great to see. And especially now with this whole, you know, sort of advent of TikTok and stuff like that, you go, wow, what is that? I want to see that every bloody weekend on my TV. Actually, one thing I do want to rant about. So last week, I was actually quite surprised by the feedback about people being snooty about Richard Burns' rally. not having a dig at the game. The game is outstanding. My views and thoughts are very clear on that. But I won't touch on that territory again. It's actually the people that criticise the WRC coverage and say, oh, the onboards drop out, the thing crashes, it's shit. Want more cameras, I want more flying drones. If you actually think about how they make that coverage, there is literally a plane up in the sky that receives onboard signals, feeds from cameras on the ground. It's actually not technically possible what they do. So the fact that it occasionally has a dropout and some pictures don't work is actually... yeah, fair enough. The fact that you can actually watch every single stage live. I started watching the WRC the turn of the millennium, 2001, 2002. The highlight show would come out 4 weeks later, but I'd be itching to watch it, of course. But if you told me then that in 20 years' time you could watch every single stage live, you could watch on boards as they happen, you'd be like, yeah, I'd take that. So lay off the WRC coverage. I'm not sucking up to them. You just don't know how good you've got it.
Can I agree with you wholeheartedly? Because, okay, it's annoying that you have to go and get a whole other subscription to watch rallying. But if you're into World Rallycross, I should say, as well as WRC and European Rally Championship and the rest of it, you get some, you know, access to that sort of stuff, which gives you a little bit of happiness, I suppose, with paying that kind of money. But genuinely... whoever is doing this, and this is not us sucking up either, but as you say, we've consumed so much motorsport really in the last sort of, well, for you a lot longer, probably 10, let's say a last decade, me probably closer to 6 or 7 years across so many different platforms. This platform is pretty flawless. Not once did I have a problem with it. The highlights packages that they cut together are fantastic. The full length coverage are fantastic. Everything that they do is incredibly accessible and good. And at some point down the track, they then take those highlights packages and put them on YouTube. So there are free to watch at some point. And I think Rally Day 2, as we record this, the Saturday highlights were just put up this morning. So from that point of view, I think the commentary is pretty spot on. I love that the camera cuts out, to be honest, because that's how you know it's authentic and it's real. Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's going under a tree or it's going through a tunnel. And you know, one side of the tunnel is bright and sunny and dry, and the other side of the tunnel, it is very wet and slippery and not so good. It just, I think, with a new sort of lens on it all, it is a good time to get into it. And, I mean, if WRC want to sponsor this podcast, which would be weird, but if they do or give us a discount code for people to watch it, I genuinely think you will be very surprised if you were to subscribe at least for a month and maybe watch Rally Sweden.
You know, watching the live coverage and seeing, you know, Gregor Munster off into the fence and Takamoto Katsuta. The thing I loved, and you know what? It was funny. I was watching Takamoto, you know, he was stuck in, he was very agitated. He was wanting to get out. He was very stressed. But what I love is when the camera cuts to the fans pushing the car. What other form of motorsport are you allowed to do that? The driver will egg you on saying, come, help me push.
Yeah.
There is a dangerous element to it. And we saw, I think Mikkelsen was, a couple of minutes behind. And, thankfully the safety marshal blew his whistle and told everyone, get out of the way because there's a car coming. And you saw the fans, they got a kick out of it as well. They were bloody one hand with pushing the car, the other one with their bloody phone, putting it on Snapchat. One guy had a dart in his mouth, you know, really multitasking. How very French. So it was, it's just, they're the things I think that, you know, that makes rallying really special, moments like that.
Oh, totally.
Not for poor Tucker. He lost 5 minutes and was out of contention for the rally for the rest of the weekend. But little things like that, I go, wow, that's actually pretty cool.
There's also something about this unwritten code with rally fans who are there. They're waiting until the driver beckons for them, right? So it's not just people go racing out and try and push cars over or whatever else. They're waiting for it. And then you get to see the excitement on the face. And that front camera angle, there's one fan in particular that sticks out who was like, no, put your wheels straight. And he's like, he's trying to give him like commands to get him back out on the road. There is, and it, the broadcast even said it, when Gregoire put it into the fence and they said, you know, unfortunately, there is for Munster, there is no fans there to, or there are no fans there to be able to help him out. And you could see he gets out of the car because, of course, this co-driver, if he got out of the car, would disappear off the cliff and say, ah, shit, yeah, you're absolutely right. So fans make a big part of it. And I mean, we've probably just spent the last 10 minutes now just absolutely loving on WIC, but this is the vibe. This is why this podcast exists. No, I know everyone's just too busy shouting at it from a distance or from with inside it. This is all about loving it from the outside.
Listen to my calls.
Let's head across to the Listen to My Calls Discord server, and a shout out to you if you have joined that. If you've not yet joined, please do so. The link is in the show notes, or go to listentomycalls.com. You can find the link there. Rob, I want to go to the rally weekend thread. And Frosport, before the rally, of course, we know the results now, but said, what are the odds on a WRC2 on the podium by the end of the year? I would have said at Monty if it was more icy or snow. Is there a possibility at Kenya? I just thought that is such an interesting point to think about, because you think about, let's, you know, a Le Mans, for example, you're not really expecting anyone else except for the hypercars to get on the podium, but there could be a potential, especially in this season, for WR2 to maybe get up there.
I'm going to go more aggressive, and I'm going to suggest there will be not even a WRC3 car on the podium. There's going to be an RC5 car, so some regional person. I tell you what, you go through the Monte Carlo entry list that goes Yaris, Yaris, Fiesta, Hyundai, Hyundai, Yaris, Yaris, Skoda, 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 Hyundai, Skoda, 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 and then Renault Clio, Renault Clio, Renault Clio, Renault Clio, Renault Clio. Mash that one up, Mashton Kutcher. So that I'm going to go just WRC2. That's easy, surely, because that's going to be the next formula.
That's
RC5, the most logical pathway on the rally ladder. So there'll be a Renault Clio on the podium. Some local expert will smash it. No, I actually don't think that will happen. I don't think it would have happened in an icy or snowy Monty. It was actually slippery, more slippery than we thought it was going to be. We thought it would be a flat-out tarmac rally. But
another apology.
Yes, another apology.
I'm very sorry.
It was bloody 29 degrees Celsius when we recorded the podcast, so our sort of gauge of temperature. I'm currently in shorts. I'm sweating right now. I'm drenched. Sort of my litmus test of the wet, the Australian Open
the wet bulb.
yeah, it's a little bit off. It needs to be recalibrated come the winter. But yeah, it was a bit more slippery there. But yeah, I don't think you would have seen a rally two car, because it would have required so many cars off the road. In the instance of which every single car has a catastrophic hybrid failure, or just some bad mechanical luck, you're not likely to see it. I know the rally one field is very small, but I don't think it will occur. But that said, somewhere like Kenya, don't discount it, because we saw, and the anoraks are going to love this bit, is we've seen, kit cars. I think it was somewhere in the late 90s, but there was I think it was Sayat with one of their kit cars was actually, they didn't get I don't think they got a podium, but they were pretty close and it survived the rally. So, if it was going to be any rally, that would be it. But even so, the current version of the Safari rally, I don't think it's as hardcore as it used to be. So who knows? It may not be conducive to a result like that. But look, we've been wrong already 3 times after one episode.
In one episode. Well, if you want to join any kind of conversation about rally, head across to our Discord. And a massive thank you to you also if you've left us a rating or review both on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. The 4 people who've left 5 stars on Spotify and the 4 people who have left it on Apple Podcasts. Massive thank you to you. You can also find us on Instagram and on TikTok. And yes, there's no ads, so we're doing ads for ourselves. This episode is brought to you by...
G'day, it's old mate from Bet Bozo here. Here's tonight's odds for the race. 20-1, hosted by Bert Newton. Now, I'm just playing with you. We like a laugh down here at Bet Bozo, and I think it's an even odds on having a good time with this radio show. BetBozo.com. I probably can't say that. It's not a real website. BetBozo.biz.
Listen to my calls.
Well, let's review the Monte Carlo rally day by day.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what? It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what? What a great tune.
I thought I would have escaped that tune coming to WIC and away from McLaren. Also, now that Andretti has been banned from Formula One for basically forever, why don't you, Michael Andretti, put together a rally team and come across to WRC? I'm sure they'd bloody welcome you with open arms. We'll have you on the podcast.
I would love to. Nothing would amuse me more than a Cadillac Rally One car. If there's two words that do not belong together, it is that. I can't remember if I mentioned last week, but we've got to do the segment drivers that don't belong, because there's a long list of drivers, certainly in the WRC. Have a ponder over the podcast, and you can go to Listen to My Calls Discord, and we'll set up the That Ain't Belong channel, unusual.
Here's another segment that I'd love to do for the show. What could you write on a banner or a flag that would actually get the attention of a driver or a co-driver to distract them momentarily? Because everyone, you know, is waving a flag or like, go oit or go whatever. Is there something that you can think of that you could write? You know, it had to be big letters, so it would be a short sentence. Go to the Discord and let us know, because that, I think, not that we want to put off the drivers from you know, going fast, but so many people wave things, and I just wonder, is there something specifically that often would be like, oh, hang on, I'm driving.
Yeah. First of all, let's create some regulations around it. Let's immediately disqualify bum cracks. Because I don't think you've not seen this video, and I know this for a fact. There is a video on YouTube. It's one of the great all-time YouTube videos of rallying.
Sammy, please listen to the call.
Not that one. But there's one. If you type in, it is the first result. If you type in Mark Tapper crash with 1.3 million views from 13 years ago at the time of this recording.
Oh, my goodness. 47 seconds. That's worth listening to.
Yes, because this is what happens. And just the note, language warning.
Six right minor.
That's not how I thought that was going to go. Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I also love the description. Mark Tapper leaving Kiwi until he gets a inverted commas brown eye.
For fuck.
Yeah, ass out.
My
is
goodness.
Is the video to look out for. So it was. Genuinely laugh out loud. It is still funny these years later. It's actually there's a funny story. So I was once courting a young lady, and I decided to instead of being sort of cool and mysterious, I decided to show her rally videos because I'm an idiot. And I showed her that video, and it turned out the driver was her cousin.
No way.
Yes.
Safe to say the courting was not a success.
No.
For fuck.
Why did we talk? Oh, yeah. Oh, my big sign. So, okay, no bums. No ass cracks, please.
No ass cracks.
Mine would be a big A2 or A1 sized sort of core flute. And it's a large contract for Oit Tanak to sign for his third stint at M Sport if he has the shits at Hyundai if Thierry Neuville wins the title.
Oh, that would be very good. I think mine would just be Gunther Steiner's just picture from his own book. Just his face. Just nothing else.
Just different chapters. Until he comes back where he truly belongs. In the WRC paddock. I mean, I'm racking my brains. Where could he end up? Like, what's a logical home for him? Should it just at least chuck him on the commentary? Put him on the WRC TV coverage.
Yeah.
He'd be good value at least.
Do you know what I think, though? If we get towards the end of this year and there's genuine conversation about WRC 2/2+ or whatever else there is, and obviously that then opens the door for you know, maybe Citroen and Skoda and a few others to come towards the front, that there would be some interest from those teams to get someone like Gunther. As we said last week, this is a good opportunity for sacked F1 team principals to come into a sport that would absolutely love on them. Watching Cyril Abiteboul, I know we're skipping way ahead of, we're talking about Friday, but Cyril Abiteboul at the end on Sunday was over the moon. The last time I saw him that excited was when the tattoo was finished after Daniel Ricciardo's bet was completed. And he's like, well, at least that's done in my life. All right, let's go to Thursday night, the opener. The fireworks were incredible. Everything was all looking, it's all coming up, Elfyn Evans, the Milhouse Award.
Oh, that's not a good metaphor.
He was on it straight away. And I was watching that thinking, excellent. You know, we'd already said Elfyn, this is his year. He's coming out of the block strong. And it was genuinely impressive to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it was, a hybrid issue on Saturday for Elfyn. And he alluded to something else that he wouldn't say. That was really his undoing. So look, not his fault, but unlucky. But it was a very good start, nevertheless. If you take away some of that rare Toyota mechanical unreliability, I think he'd be still pretty happy with his weekend, at least from within.
And their livery this year looks fantastic. I obviously saw it at Recce, but I think just it's a bit of a departure. I like it when teams, manufacturers rather, want to have a bit of a change in how they look.
Yeah, I give him points for trying. As the only person with a Bachelor of Creative Arts design with distinction.
The qualified designer.
I'm a bit done with black race cars because it's a little bit here, there and everywhere. It's very much in vogue. And also, I thought it was perplexing. I would have thought the one category where you would not want to induce more heat from the sun would be a rally car. So that'll give that wet bulb a test, Toyota. See how the Yaris fares with an all black matte car, and it'll be roasting once we get to the Acropolis rally. Yeah, it's simple and effective. It actually reminded me a little bit. It didn't occur to me until the weekend, but it reminded me of one of my favorite understated liveries, and this is for all you anoraks out there, the old Ford Focus RS livery. The GR has that same kind of, dominates the car a little bit. And so from that, I give it a lot of respect, I think that was a really cool design of its time. And I think that's the modern day version, albeit on a different make and model. But for mine, the livery I love the most, and I'm not sure this particular driver loves his car after the Monte Carlo Rally weekend, was Stéphane Lefebvre in Rally 2, who really, you know, in quote-unquote home turf, probably should have done better. I know we haven't talked about WRC 2 in much depth, but where did he end up in the... He ended up, fifth in class in terms of the points. He collected 10 points. He was actually the best Toyota out of all that. Stefan's livery was probably the best one because it had that old sort of Toyota Team Europe Castrol motif on there. It was a little bit busy, I would have thought, the livery. So, but it would have been nice if Toyota had integrated some of those little cues of design onto the GR car out in Rally 1. So, yeah, can't fault it. It's actually a much better livery than maybe the last couple of years, because I remember seeing a photo of, you know, last year's Yaris. I went, I hated that livery because it was so boring and so corporate.
Toyota, if you want to redesign livery for next season, listen to mycalls.com/RobJames is the best. In terms of other good things that happened on Friday, Seb Loeb, as I mentioned, he was there on the sidelines. M Sport wishing he was doing a little bit more than being on the sidelines, yes. I'm sure. That's a livery that went downhill, the current generation livery compared to when Seb last won this race. That purple and blue working together looked absolutely phenomenal. I saw that car at Goodwood and was like, this looks bloody great in person.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. I think some people have described M Sport's vibe as a little bit of a privateer kind of vibe. They don't look like a factory team at the moment. But yeah, I like the fact that M Sport have a brash and bold design, and it's tricky because they don't have a consistent... This is what they teach you in graphic design tool. I forgot the term.
This is what they teach you. I know, I've forgotten.
The motif, I don't know, I'm just saying words here. But you get what I'm saying. There's no consistency. You don't associate M Sport at the moment with any one livery. You're thinking of older liveries. You're thinking of even liveries from 2 years ago, the purple one. So they don't have a call to action or a recall of a livery that really stands out because they keep changing it all the time. And that said, I think it's very cool. It stands out. And, you know, it's in contrast. Once we get to the Acropolis Rally, I reckon it'll be the coolest car on the grid because it's the half the front is white. So the wet bulb in the Puma will be a hell of a lot cooler than the Yaris, I'm willing to bet.
And we can't not mention that Hyundai's livery looks like Hyundai's livery because it's like the Red Bull of the World Rally Championship. We have the colour. We're going to continue with the colour. You know what? It's a good-looking colour.
Out of all the colours, I mean, you know, Renault has yellow. Corvette is yellow as well. But there's so many car companies that have a colour that's synonymous with them. And so for Hyundai, picking... cyan is an interesting choice, but they have changed it up a little bit this year. The hue of cyan, I think, it looks better on television. Actually.
Yeah,
they've done something to it, and it's consistent. It's better than, don't you dare compare it to a Red Bull F1 livery, because at least every year they kind of jazz it up a little bit, and they do change it. This is my point. So M Sport keep changing it all the time. It's hard to sort of keep track and. There's no, I guess, brand association with it. Whereas with Hyundai, they change the livery, but they also don't change the livery too, if that makes sense. The colours are very consistent. The design style, the stylings are very consistent, but they keep changing it to make it fresh and interesting. So, full points for them.
I'll call it McLaren instead then. Let's talk about some of the bad things that happened, especially towards Friday, late morning and midday. Here we were talking about the lack of ice that was going to exist. Well, that wasn't true. We've already spoken a little bit about who came off, and Oit, Taka and Gregoire all had moments at that corner where the same set of spectators were able to touch some different WRC 1 cars. And most interestingly for me was Thierry having that spin, that moment where he came through that left and the car just kept rotating and he wasn't quite sure. And that to me, like obviously in retrospect now, we see how dominant he was then for the rest of the weekend, but that to me was really like, oh, okay, well, okay, Elfin and Seb probably do have this in control if, you know, that's happening to him.
Not sure that Hyundai was really, despite the fact they won the rally, I think early on maybe the setup wasn't quite right because it was a bit twitchy. If we want to touch on the bad, I think, for the whole weekend, I think that to me there's two that really stand out. One was actually the debut of the Yaris Rally 2 car. It probably wasn't. I think there was a lot of expectation on its launch, and Sami Pajari did well. I think he got pretty close to potentially taking out a stage win, but... it wasn't to be, but Stefan Lefebvre having those troubles with the Yaris early on, it seemed like he was having a bit of buyer's remorse. Now, don't get me wrong, Toyota are going to fix that car very, very quickly and they'll get up to speed. And let's be honest, it's a brand new car out of the box. So for it to perform as well as it did and was pretty reliable from all accounts too, that's pretty good. The biggest disappointment I took away from the Monte Carlo rally as the weekend as a whole, actually Andreas Mikkelsen. I think we all expected a lot more. And he probably expected a lot more too. He passed on going to M Sport because he thought, you know what, I'd rather stay with Skoda and WRC2 than go there. M Sport, they would be pretty happy that maybe Andreas wasn't their driver this year. Because
that's an interesting call.
If that was the performance he had at Monte Carlo, they would have had an absolute mare. And they would... It was like AlphaTauri in F1 last year. They'd be sort of... they'd be flying blind a little bit where they might actually be hoodwinked by the pace of the car. The car actually probably isn't that bad, but you probably don't have the right driver at that point in time. Now, he does get a leave pass because it has been a while. The Rally 1 car is a whole different beast. The hybrid system is, of course, I think it's new. I don't think he's actually driven a Rally 1 car in competition. He's driven the old specification World Rally car in anger, but this is, his Rally 1 debut. So, it was a lot to go through. And I think, what was it? Was it Saturday or Sunday where the first stage of the morning, like 50 metres, first breaking point, parks it in a ditch straight away. So I think he doesn't need idiot Rob James telling him that he had a disappointing weekend. He knows that for a fact. So he needs to lift. But conversely, Andreas not going to M Sport was to showcase for Gregoire Munster and Adrian Formo. They weren't on the podium. They didn't get stage wins. But they were there or thereabouts. They weren't farcically off the pace. Gregoire only had an issue, I think, on the Sunday, and that led him. That meant that he was, you know, 11th or whatever he was, outright. So that was really inexperience. And to be honest, the fact that it was so late in the rally was actually impressive. You probably would have thought he would do it earlier. So that's a good start for him. So I wouldn't be too upset if I was him. Adrian Formo, though, to be fifth in the Ford Puma is a good result. They were steady, and yeah, that's all they need. They just need to quietly chip away, and their time will hopefully come again.
And it's a set of expectations, right? I mean, team principal Richard Milliner said he's more than happy with what the boys were doing. You don't want them to get concerned or look at what anyone else is doing. Just drive your own rally and understand the car and start getting to grips. And I think it was Gregoire that said during the broadcast at some point that they're trying to learn coming into this season with M Sport, trying to learn for the first half of the season. Then for the second half of the season, they're going to push as hard as they possibly can to get podiums. And I think that's just a really good place to be for two guys who aren't Mickelson, you know, that aren't Seb Loeb or anyone else. There's a lack of pressure, which I think is absolutely the right environment for both of these guys to have a really good time out, because they're going to enjoy it and able to make mistakes, and they're not going to be excessively punished for, maybe like someone like Andreas would have been. Well, let's talk about Saturday. Going into Saturday, the end of Friday, Elfman was in the lead. Seb was 4.5 seconds behind him, and then Thierry in third, Oit in fourth, and Adrian in fifth. Looking at Saturday, though, like Thierry was pushing so hard. So he'd had his spin. Maybe he got all the nerves out. Maybe they'd figured out the setup for the car and they'd had a proper good chat about it. Now, at the same time, in the same service park with Hyundai, as we said before, it's not having a good time because his car's been towed into the service park with engine issues. But Thierry finds some confidence. There's different tyre choices mixing up as well, which we haven't really spoken. We haven't done tyre talk in terms of mixing the softs and super softs and everything else. And if you're in Formula One, Ted Kravitz would come in and go, I hate talking about tyres, and then have a diatribe for 4.5 hours about them. But it was genuinely impressive. And from that was stage 9, he took a place in second. And then in stage 10, it's stage later, he was up into first by 9/10, beating Elfman, which was it was bloody awesome to watch.
And for me, that's the encouraging sign about this season. If we're getting, it's very much quality over quantity. I'm kind of going with the mantra of the WRC at the moment. That's its leave pass, where there's a handful of drivers that can really take it to each other. And at the moment, that, you know, last week we said it was going to be an Oit and Elfman championship season, but Thierry had pre-selection. The Republicans of Ohio have decided that Thierry is going to be their man for the job this season. So
the way that it all finished up, we've spoken a little bit about it, but it was a bit of a surprise for us that Thierry was the man in front. But I tell you what, he bloody deserved it, because he drove the absolute wheels off it. Seb Ogier even said, you know, this is like midday on Sunday, like, you know, hats off to Thierry because he's driving incredibly well. That was almost the white flag going up there. And then Seb in second, but as you said, for all intents and purposes, third, Elfman really second, because this is the problem that we're going to have with WRC through the season, is people who come in who aren't doing a full calendar. But the most exciting thing is, Rob, we're not all that far away from Rally Sweden, where we actually probably, maybe, will absolutely get some snow.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what, if that is a dry tarmac rally, Rally Sweden, we've got some real issues to deal with. We've got some real questions to ask.
Sunday, then, less bad things, The only bad point that I've got is the hype about the power stage, because it actually was bloody good to watch. And Taka had a really run in that time. And it's like, oh, hang on. Okay, he spun out and lost all this time early on in the rally. But actually, the power stage is worth watching because Taka was absolutely on it. So the bad thing was the hype about that. The good thing was how good that was.
Yeah, I agree. Because we saw Takamoto Katsuta set a time. We thought, oh, okay, that'll get smashed. And then it was like, hang on a sec. This is legitimately, he's up there. He's actually given a red hot crack, and that's the magic of the power stage. And I think it's a fantastic feature. And because, you know, if you said 20 years ago we're going to do a power stage, you go, no, must be as per Richard Burns' rally.
Which is a great game and we love it a lot.
Yes, it was good for its time.
Well, all of the stages were great to watch. All of the drives were bloody fantastic, really, as much as they were pushing. And Rob, yet again, the points, the new point system, it works.
Listen to my calls. Stage is finished. Well done.
Well, that's it for this episode of Listen to My Calls. A massive thank you to you for listening and leaving a rating or review wherever you're getting your favourite podcasts from. But this is not the last of us. This is only the beginning, Rob, because Rally Sweden is only around the corner.
Yes, very close, that one. So the first snow rally of the season, but given the conditions in Monte Carlo, I'm open to anything. On a scale of the Dakar rally through to the Baja 1000, I'm expecting anything and everything for Rally Sweden, so bring it on.
Make sure you get your wet bulbs out for that one. It's been a pleasure to talk all things Monte Carlo with you. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Listen to My Calls. I've been James.
I've been Stefan Lefebvre's by remorse.
that's like saying, oh, the nuclear submarine's perfect, is straight out of the box. This has been Listen to My Calls.
Shut up. Don't tell me I'm driving.
Listen to My Calls, a Helmet Hair Media production.
Never call us again, please. Never in your life.